Yaha.
Anyone who.
Shastra Vidhim.
The regulations of the scriptures.
Utsridya.
Giving up.
Vartate.
Remains.
Kama
Karataha.
Acting whimsically in lust.
Na.
Never.
Saha.
He.
Siddhim.
Perfection.
Avapnoti.
Achieves.
Na.
Never.
Siddhim.
Happiness.
Na.
Never.
Param.
The supreme.
Gatim.
Perfectional stage.
Translation.
He who discards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection, nor happiness, nor the supreme destination.
Purport. As described before, the Shastra Vidhi, or the direction of the Shastra, is given to the different castes and orders of human society. Everyone is expected to follow these rules and regulations. If one does not follow them and acts whimsically, according to his lust, greed, and desire, then he will never be perfect in his life. In other words, a man may theoretically know all these things, but if he does not apply them in his own life, then he is to be known as the lowest of mankind. In the human form of life, a living entity is expected to be sane and to follow the regulations given for elevating his life to the highest platform. But if he does not follow them, then he degrades himself. But even if he follows the rules and regulations and moral principles and ultimately does not come to the stage of understanding the Supreme Lord, then all his knowledge becomes spoiled. And even if he accepts the existence of God, if he does not engage himself in the service of the Lord, his attempts are spoiled. Therefore, one should gradually raise himself to the platform of Krishna consciousness and devotional service. It is then and there that he can attain the highest perfectional stage, not otherwise. The word kama karataha is very significant. A person who knowingly violates the rules is lost. He knows that this is forbidden, but still he acts. This is called acting whimsically. He knows that this should not be done, but still he doesn't, and therefore he's acting whimsically. Such persons are destined to be condemned by the Supreme Lord. Such persons cannot have the perfection which is meant for the human life. The human life is especially meant for purifying one's existence, and one who does not follow the rules and regulations cannot purify himself, nor can he attain the real stage of happiness. Yah shastra vidhim utsrija vartate kama karataha nasa siddhim avapnoti nasukham naparam gatim.
He who discards scriptural injunctions and acts according to his own whims attains neither perfection nor happiness nor the supreme destination.
This verse comes at the end of the chapter, the divine and demoniac natures. And the chapter opens with a description of the divine nature, and then most of the chapter describes the nature of the demoniac. And this is the penultimate verse in that chapter, or in this chapter. In this way, Krishna, he in one way divides the demons from the devotees. The demons don't like to follow scriptural rules. There may be some demons who follow scriptural rules also. For instance, the example is given in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita of Jarasandha, who worshipped Vishnu formerly, but he hated Krishna. And there are others also. The Mayavadi Sampradaya worships, they aspire, members of the Mayavadis, they aspire to enter the impersonal Brahman, but they are described herein by Krishna as they're described because they think that he has taken a human body. They're described as fools, avajananti mamurha. Manushing tanamashritam. They do not know Krishna's, that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God. They take him to be an ordinary person. So it's not only the shastric injunctions that one should follow, but one should also know the siddhanta, or the proper conclusion of shastra. These rules and regulations are particularly mentioned because they are required to lift one from hell. Just prior to this, two verses prior, Krishna has stated, Trividham narakasyedam dwaram nashanam atmanaha kamas krodhas tatalobhas tasmadetat trayang tyajet. Krishna states that lust, anger and greed, kam, krodh, lobh, these are the three gates to hell, therefore an intelligent person should give them up. Then, how can we give them up? The next verse after this. Itari vimukta kauntaya tamo dwarais tribhya naraha acharatya atmana shrayas tato yati param gatim. The man who has escaped these three gates of hell, O son of Kunti, performs acts conducive to self-realization and thus gradually attains the supreme destination. So to give up the, to not become involved in the three gates to hell, kam, krodha, and lobha, lust, greed, and anger, and to perform acts that are conducive for self-realization, one should follow the rules and regulations of scripture. Acts conducive to self-realization include, apart from very great acts as leaving the world, going to the jungle, simple things like rising early in the morning, bathing, these are very simple things which anyone can perform, but they are conducive to self-realization. They're conducive to self-realization, but they are not equivalent to self-realization. They're not guarantees of self-realization. And one may follow all these things, rising early, bathing, doing the Trisandhya, the rites at three times of the day, and not make any spiritual advancement at all if one is not properly situated in understanding siddhanta of shastra. But they are acts conducive to self-realization. They're not. It requires more than following the rules and regulations of scripture to become spiritually advanced. But these rules are necessary if one is to become spiritually advanced and to save one from going to hell. There's no question of spiritual advancement without them, without following the rules and regulations of shastra. And if one does not follow them, then one becomes sinful. And lust, greed, and anger are sure to increase. Not following the rules and regulations in itself, that is sinful. Just to not care for the Vedic injunctions. And by not following them, one embarks upon a lifestyle that will cultivate lust, greed, and anger, and all the other bad qualities. Now, we often hear that bhakti is independent and that in pure devotional service, rules and regulations no longer apply. And that's certainly true if we see the lives of some great devotees. Great example of that is Vamsidas Babaji. Do you have that book? I think you didn't advertise it. Yeah. So he's an example of a devotee who didn't follow rules and regulations exactly, but he followed the essence of all of them, which is Smartavya Satatam Vishnu, Vismartavya Na Jatu Sid Jatu Chit, Sarva Vidhi Nishedasya Eta Yar Eva Kinkaraha. The essence of all rules and regulations is to always think of Krishna and never forget him. And to all the rules and regulations of the Shastra, they are servants of these two rules, which is really one rule, because if you always think of Krishna, then you never forget him. It's by saying always think of Krishna and don't forget him, it's a way to emphasize the point that we should always think of Krishna. At the same time, we see in the case of Vamsidas Babaji Maharaj, he did rise early. He wasn't under any compulsion to do so. Actually, no one's under any compulsion to do so. Well, it may be that someone forces you to get up early, or we feel forced to get up. It may be for completely material reasons, that I have to get to work, so I have to get up early. But he didn't perform any sinful activities, that's for sure. And although he didn't have a very regulated or ordinary path of serving Krishna, but his love was with pure bhav, or transcendental feeling. So in bhakti, the feeling is the most important thing. There is a verse in this regard. Pandit vadati vishnaya, murkha vadati vishnave, upaya tu samam punyam bhavagrahi janadana. A pandit, a learned person, says vishnaya. And someone who doesn't know says vishnave. You know, when you put on the tilak, the mantras are there. What is that? Om Keshavaya Namaha, Om Narayanaya Namaha, Om Madhavaya Namaha, Om Govindaya Namaha, Om Vishnaya Namaha. Should be Vishnaya, isn't it? You say, all the Keshavaya, Govindaya, Madhavaya, Govindaya, Vishnaya. No, Vishnave. It's an exception. So someone who doesn't know says, Govindaya Namaha, Madhavaya Namaha, Vishnaya Namaha. And one who knows says, Govindaya Namaha, Madhavaya Namaha, Vishnave Namaha. But they both get the same pious result, because Janadana is known as, Krishna is known as Bhavagrahi, one who accepts the mood of the devotee. So that's the main thing in devotional service. However, it's not that devotional service is without rules and regulations. And we find in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in the second part, we hear the descriptions of, well, actually it's in four parts, but we can say in the description of great devotees, we don't hear so much about their following rules and regulations. In the first part, there are many rules given for devotional service, and there are many more given in the Hari Bhakti Vilasa and in other shastras. So there are rules for devotees also. And in this regard, there is a verse which Srila Prabhupada often quoted, one of the many verses which Srila Prabhupada often quoted, Shruti Smriti Purana Adi Pancharatra Vidhing Vina. Aikanta ki hare bhaktirut pata yaiva kalpate. that devotional service, Hari Bhakti, which is performed without following all the scriptures, even if it is appears to be aikantiki, one-pointed, it simply creates a disturbance in human society, or in the actual process of pure devotional service. So he may say, well, what about Vamsidas Babaji? That we should see that his behavior, he wouldn't dress his deities, he would scold them, he would sometimes feed them, sometimes not feed them. That is not to be imitated. An acharya is one who knows the Shastra and by practice and precept establishes what should be followed in Shastra. Achinoti ashastrani achare sthapyatyapi swayam acharate yasmad acharyastena kirtitaha. The acharyas, they teach by their example. They teach what is in Shastra. They teach by example means they follow the rules and regulations of Shastra. Now, what is it? Is it bhava or rules? Well, that's discussed in one interesting word which describes what we should not, or what kind of attitude or approach we should not have in bhakti. Rupa Goswami, who has given many niyams, many rules in his Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in another of his books, the Upadeshamrita, he gives six approaches or attitudes which will spoil our bhakti. One of those is niyamagraha, which by Sanskrit analysis can mean two completely opposite approaches, but they both spoil bhakti. One is to be overly eager for rules without understanding the spirit of the rules, which is that Krishna should be pleased. And another, that's niyama agraha, to be very enthusiastic for rules. The rules are not the be-all and end-all in themselves. They are a means to an end. They are not the end in themselves. But another interpretation of niyamagraha is niyama agraha, not accepting the rules. So the rules should be accepted, but one should know the spirit behind them. The whole idea is to please Krishna. So how can we know what pleases Krishna? Then we know from Shastra. Krishna gives the Shastra so that we can understand what pleases him, and especially the Bhakti Shastras, what is described to please him. Mother Yashoda ties up Krishna. That pleases him. The love of his devotee pleases him. That is not meant for everyone. There's no rule in Shastra that we should tie up Krishna and show a stick to beat him. Mother Yashoda does it. Vamsidas Babaji does it. We can hear about such things and praise Krishna, but praise such great devotees for their love for Krishna. But for ourselves, we should follow the rules and regulations. And especially in deity worship, there are many rules. This is sometimes misunderstood, that there are no rules. Actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he says about the holy name, chanting of the holy name, He says that, Krishna, you have many names and there are no rules for chanting this. Kayate shuite jota tata namaloi desha kala niyam nahi sharva shiddhi hoy. That even without considering, even if you're lying down or even if you're eating, you can chant the holy name. You can't do that with deity worship. You can't say, I'm feeling tired, I think I'll lie down. Take a little rest here in the deity room, then I'll continue the archan. Or offering the bhog to Krishna. Oh, that looks nice. Okay, I'll try a little bit of it out. Srila Prabhupada can do that. He sometimes more than once did that. He was preparing, showing devotees how to cook, and he himself would start to eat before he was offered to Krishna. And once he came into the temple when the offering was going on in London, I was in the early days of the movement, he sometimes did this, and he saw the offering was just brought in, and he said, he pointed at the sweet, he said, give that to me. And he took one sweet. You may be shocked to hear it. Don't imitate it. That is not for us to do. We should know our level. The rules and regulations to follow, there is, who cannot follow, we have to consider. Adhika, what is our level? And the Acharya, Srila Prabhupada, Acharya, he teaches us all these rules and regulations. We should know not to imitate him when he, out of love for Krishna, steals his laddus, like a cowherd boy in Vrindavan. So, in chanting the holy names, Tatrar Pita Niyamata Svarnena Kala, Desh, kala, all these time, place, circumstances. But there are some considerations also in chanting the holy name. There are 10 offenses against the holy name. There is, in all matters of devotional service, there is consideration. Two main things, Siddhanta and Rasa. What is the proper understanding philosophically, and how is Krishna pleased? Krishna is pleased by the attitude, but if the attitude is all mixed up, then it doesn't work. You can't mix. There are many examples of this given in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. If you try to mix, for instance, Shantarati with Madhuryarati, it doesn't work. Krishna is not pleased. If you praise Krishna, you are the supreme, impersonal Brahman personified, everything rests on you, give me a kiss. It doesn't work. That example is given in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, more or less. It doesn't work. Krishna is not pleased. Bhakti Siddhanta Viruddha Arasa Bhas Shunile Prabhu Chitte Nahoy Ulash. About Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it was described that if there any statements that were contrary to the proper understanding of devotional service or with rasabhas, this improper mixing of mellows, that did not give pleasure to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So bhakti means to give pleasure to Krishna, and the rules and regulations are there to guide us as to what Krishna wants from us. And in bhakti, if there is some slackness in following the rules and regulations not due to laziness, Krishna is not pleased by our laziness or our whim, but if for some reason due to old age and infirmness or due to being very neophyte or whatever, that doesn't count as a sin. But if we go on in devotional service and don't try to improve and come to the proper standard following the rules, then it does become actually an offense. It's just like that example that a learned person says Vishnave. Someone who doesn't know says Vishnaya. Both of them, according to the degree of their enthusiasm to praise Krishna, he accepts what they say, accepts the mood. But it's not that somewhat that actually chanting Vishnaya is proper. If someone goes on chanting Vishnaya Namaha, Vishnaya Namaha, someone should tell him, actually it's Vishnave, that's the way, that's the language of Krishna, and you want to praise him, then you should know the language. If you know, if you want to, if a husband after 20 years of marriage to his wife still can't remember her name properly, well, it probably wouldn't reach 20 years. If you love someone, the least thing you want to know is to how to say their name properly. So, in the beginning we may make mistakes, but we should learn and improve. The next verse to this verse, which we read today, yashastra vidimutrija vartate kama karataha nasa siddhima bhapnoti nasukam naparam gatim. The next verse, which concludes the chapter, is tasmat shastra vidhana. Now I'm forgetting it myself. Tasmat shastra pramanam te karya karya vivastito gyatva shastra vidhano tam karyam karma iharasi. Karma karyam iharasi. Karma karta miharasi. That therefore one should know, here Krishna says, one should follow the rules and regulations of scripture, therefore you have to know them. One should know them and follow them, and in this way live in this world. So we are not, sorry if I'm making a mistake here, but I don't think anyone here is on the level of pure, spontaneous devotional service. If you are, let us know. But for the rest of us, we have to follow the rules and regulations, which will help us to come up. Now, if we don't know, there's no harm, but we should, there's no harm in the sense that we don't make an offense, but we should try to know. So now I'm going to tell you something from Shastra, which it seems that most of you here don't know, regarding Pusha Abhishek, which is scheduled for today, isn't it? Right. Pusha Abhishek means what? Throwing flowers. Offering flowers. Okay. But actually the word for flower is Pushpa, isn't it? Yeah. It seems that someone, probably in the West, got the idea of Pushpa Abhishek. Pusha Abhishek is described in Shastra, in Hari Bhakti Vilas. Pusha means relating to the month of Posh, which just finished. And it's stated there in Hari Bhakti Vilas that on the Purnima of Posh month, one should do an Abhishek to Deveshwa, means Krishna, with ghee. That's the description of Pusha Abhishek. So it should be on a certain day, which it was just a few days ago, actually, the Purnima of Posh. But I guess it's been moved to today because it's more convenient for everyone. But actually it's meant for, it's given in Shastra that it should be on a certain day. That's for Krishna's pleasure. It's just like, well, it's a bit difficult for me to follow Ekadashi, so I'll do it on Sunday when I have a holiday. But you can't do that. There are certain days when you should do it. Stipulated days. The 11th day after the full moon and the 11th day after the new moon. These are the, and that has to be calculated properly. And that's a general statement. Okay, there can be what's called. But anyway, it's on a particular day. And there's a particular way to do it. Now, no doubt, the devotees feel very happy showering the deities with flowers, but he, via Shastra, says that he will be happy if he's bathed with ghee. So it's probably better to, not probably, all the Shastric statement says we should follow Shastra and do things according to Shastra. You may say, well, such and such guru does it. But guru means achinoti yashastrani. They should follow according to Shastra. If someone made a mistake at some point, then it should be rectified. And we don't, at least I'm not aware in Shastra that it's stated that we should have what's called an abhishek of flowers. It's specifically stated that one should use ghee. Now, I don't want to dishearten or discourage you, although I'm probably doing so. But because you've come here with much enthusiasm to perform this ceremony, but we should know how to please Krishna according to Shastra. So please don't get, I mean, you may get upset and this and that, but in the performance of devotional service, we should follow Shastra. And actually, there are many, many things I could tell you, but you'd definitely get fully discouraged if I did. Or maybe not. Should we not be desirous to know what Krishna wants by following Shastra? Or is it that we perform devotional service as we like it? Well, that's not devotional service. We have to follow as Krishna likes it. And of course, there are practically unlimited directions in Shastra, but then we have to learn from our acharyas, and as we put on all the signs on Srila Prabhupada's order, the founder acharya of ISKCON is Srila Prabhupada. So we have to understand what he says. Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra. Shastra is the center. We can't follow everything in Shastra. Hari Bhakti Vilas, I doubt if anyone ever followed everything in Hari Bhakti Vilas. But that doesn't mean it's to be fully rejected. The acharyas, for their disciples, they select the rules and regulations of Shastra which are suitable for them. And in general, for a whole sampradaya, the acharyas are the head of a sampradaya. So we should learn what is in Shastra. Shastra gyatva vidhanoktam. What is stated in Shastra, one should know. And karyam, what is that? Karma karta mihahasi. And in this world, we should live according to that. So I just thought I should make this point because it seems to be catching on. No doubt it does seem to be a nice festival, but unless there's direction in Shastra, I don't think we should do it. We should follow what Krishna says in Shastra. He is pleased by Pusha Abhishek, but it has to be done on a certain day and in a certain way. So, Hare Krishna. I don't know if I'll get kicked out of here. That happened to... I'm obviously not anywhere near the category of Ramanuja Acharya, although such a heavy weight has been put on my head and all of those who accept this task of teaching others in Krishna consciousness, but he wanted to reform the deity worship standards for Jagannath in Puri, because it wasn't according to Shastra. And Jagannath kicked him out. He decided, okay, next morning I'm going to go in and tell them how to do it properly. And next morning, he woke up in Kurukshetra, a few hundred kilometers away. So I doubt if I'll be so fortunate as to be removed by Krishna directly. But that's a very special case, of course. Jagannath, he lives in Puri. And Jai Jagannath. I
Jagannath willing, I'm going to Puri tomorrow. And I'm excited. I haven't been there for a few years, and I'm really looking forward to going there. He was originally worshipped, as you know, in the form of Nila Madhava by the Shabara, Vishvavasu. And Shabaras, they're jungle dwellers. They're not expected to be very hot on rules and regulations, not very conversant with them. So the worship of Jagannath at Puri is something Shabara, some spirit of that is there also, especially during the period Rath Yatra time, the descendants of the Shabaras, the Daityas, they worship. And otherwise the deity worship system was largely given by Shankara. So Ramanuja, he's opposed in every way to Shankara, so he wanted to change the deity worship system. But Jagannath didn't want it to be changed. So we may get an indication, if Krishna likes this, all the we're all jungle dwellers in the concrete jungle of the big city with very little idea of proper Vedic culture, but with a good intent to serve Krishna. So actually this at the very least we shouldn't call it Pushya Abhishek. We could call it Pushpa Abhishek, but there's no such thing in scripture, unless you can dig through some old scriptures or maybe fake an old scripture and find it. But in the meantime, unless Krishna makes it clear, either through Shastra or through appearing in the mind of a great devotee, or I guess I couldn't even hope for that to be personally kicked out by Krishna, then we should stick to what's given in Shastra as regards to Abhishek of the Lord. So, as I said here previously in Bangalore, someone will come another week and say something different. So you can choose whatever you like. You don't have to do what I say. You get so many speakers and they say so many things and you can choose what you like. But actually we should follow what is in Shastra. That's the fact. You can choose what you like, but Krishna has chosen what he likes and he makes that clear via Shastra. And the Acharyas. But the Acharyas, they follow Shastra. So, Hare Krishna, any question about this, please? Yeah. Following rules and regulations don't guarantee self-realization. Actually, nothing guarantees. There's no guarantee of anything. Everything's in Krishna's hands. What is the maximum input? You see, it's the same mentality. What should I do? I'm in control. What should be from our side? We should follow the rules and regulations of scripture and pray to Krishna for his mercy. Realizing that we are completely dependent upon Krishna's mercy. There's nothing we can do to enter Vaikuntha. There's nothing... But Krishna gives his mercy to us in the forms of rules and regulations. So we follow those rules and regulations and accept Krishna's mercy in this way. And those rules and regulations, they help us to be Krishna conscious. If we follow the rules, for instance, if we follow that we shall take only food offered to Krishna, we shall not eat anything else, that will help to purify the consciousness. That's a rule. If we don't follow it and we think, well, it's not so important, then we not only do we commit an offense by deliberately breaking the rule that's given in Shastra, but we also, and not only do we not get the purification that comes from taking Krishna prasadam, but we get the contamination of Bishoyer on the Kaile Malin Hoimon. The mind becomes dirty by eating food of sense enjoyance. So rules and regulations we should follow, but at the same time, we shouldn't think that by following the rules and regulations, I am guaranteeing my entrance into the spiritual world. There's no guarantee. It's all in Krishna's hands. There's no guarantee of anything. I just read, where? In Shastra? No, on the internet. Where else? That just like the Big Bang, there's the big crunch is up ahead. Just, there was infinitesimal mass and temperature, and all of a sudden it expanded, and that is the universe as we have it now. And any nanosecond, within a nanosecond, it can all go back, according to the scientists. So there's no guarantee that I could have finished that sentence. Now it's finished. There's no guarantee that I'll say another sentence, because it could. But actually, we know according to Shastra, this will not happen now. It will happen. Something like that. Pralayam. But not now. Jesus is coming, I saw on a car. Coming soon. I heard it since I was about 5 years old. And Christians have been saying it for 2,000 years. Someone said that to Srila Prabhupada in a public program. Jesus is coming soon. Prabhupada said, very good, we'll welcome him. They're always expecting Jesus to come and send all these Vaishnavas to hell so we can go to eat meat in heaven. Nasty. Oof. Anyway, we never know what's going to happen. Anything could happen anytime. Kabhi bhi kuch bhi ho sakte hai. It's a fact. You never know. Just can't tell. Srila Prabhupada wrote about, this was before he came to the West, he wrote in Back to Godhead that one man, he had gone to he went to address a conference about heart disease, and on the way to the conference he had a heart attack and died. So you don't know. Anything can happen anytime. If you study history, you'll find great king, very powerful, all of a sudden he's attacked and finished. No guarantee of anything. Everything's in the hand of Krishna. Jarasandha worship Vishnu, yeah.
Yeah, even now, most of the people have difficulty in understanding Krishna, but they do respect Vishnu.
Well, that's true. In what you said is true more in South India. People are more, they understand more about Vishnu than Krishna. But if you go to Bengal or Vrindavan or much of Orissa, people are more accustomed to talking about Krishna, or in Orissa, Jagannath. So here in South India, people know Vishnu more. So same person. Yes, please. On our level, what does it mean to be completely dependent on Krishna? Well, our level is that, unfortunately, we're not completely dependent on Krishna, isn't it? So therefore, we have to follow the rules and regulations of Scripture which help us to come to advance toward that platform and to regularly hear from devotees, hear Srimad Bhagavatam. For instance, we can hear how Ambarish was completely dependent upon Krishna. He wasn't disturbed when Durvasa wanted to kill him via one demon. But Durvasa, by his own power, he'd become so powerful, but he wasn't dependent upon Krishna. So he got in a lot of trouble. We can hear about Draupadi, how when her cloth was being snatched by Dushasan, that she depended on Krishna. And in this way we gain encouragement and enthusiasm to become completely dependent upon Krishna. These two examples are very dire circumstances, but apart from that, dependent on Krishna in our daily life, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he asked Srivas, his devotee Srivas, he said, I never see you do anything to maintain your family. As a Brahmin, you could at least go begging, but you don't do anything. Then how do you maintain your family? And Srivas replied, clapped his hands three times. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, what does that mean? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu this time, Nimai Pandit. He said, if after 3 days I don't get anything to eat, I'll go drown myself in the Ganga. That's all. He just has faith that Ananyas Chintayanto Mang Yejanaf Paryopasate Tesham Nityabhi Yuktanam Yoga Kshemam Vahamiham. Krishna will take care of me. Of course, he is the most elevated devotee. Krishna also says in Gita, Sharira Yatra Pichate Na Prasidyate Karmanaha. Just to maintain our body, we also have to do some work. So, we should perform some work and depend on Krishna. The result is in the hand of Krishna. Ultimately, everything is in Krishna's hands. Cultivate this mentality. Yeah, I'll answer a question here. The reactions of not following scriptural directions? Will it vary according to time, place, and circumstance? This is all a very complex discussion. Kim karma kim akarmeti kavyo piyatra mohitaha. Even we're talking about karma and its reactions. Performing work, not performing work. Even greatly learned persons are bewildered in understanding this. How to follow according to time, place, and circumstance can be very crucial. I've many times told the story of the Brahmin who vowed never to tell a lie. I guess I can tell it again, because do you all know that story? The Brahmin who vowed never to tell a lie. You don't know. Krishna told this to Arjuna when Arjuna was going to kill Yudhishthira. It's all in the Mahabharata. Because Arjuna had secretly taken a vow that if anyone tells me to give up my Gandiva, I'll kill him. So Yudhishthira became injured in the fight and was brought back to his camp. And Arjuna heard this, so Arjuna left the fight and came to see Yudhishthira. And Yudhishthira got very angry at him and said, what do you leave the fight for? This is nonsense. What are you, a woman or a eunuch? You should just give up your Gandiva. And then Arjuna got ready to kill Yudhishthira. Krishna, who'd driven him there, said, what are you doing? I'm going to kill Yudhishthira. Why? That's crazy, you know. Okay, the whole battle is arranged to stop the other party killing him, and you're going to kill him. You've been fighting all these days to stop him being killed. He said, well, I made a vow. Then Krishna told her that if anyone tells me to give up my Gandiva, I'll kill him. So then Krishna told Arjuna the story of a Brahmana who lived at the edge of the village, at the end where his house was next to the jungle, who made a vow never to tell a lie in his life. One day he was standing outside his house, a man came running up and said, I'm carrying gold. There are people behind me who want to kill me and take it. Where can I hide?
So the Brahmin said, go hide in the forest there.
Shortly afterward, a gang of thieves came running up and said, did you see a man running here?
The Brahmin said, yes.
He said, well, he's got gold and we want to steal it. Do you know where he went?
The Brahmin said, yes.
Where did he go?
He went there.
So they went there and killed him. And the Brahmin never told a lie in his life. He stuck to his vow. When he died, he went to hell. Because in that situation, he should have told a lie. Even though he'd made a vow, in this situation, he should have broken his vow, because the principle of protecting an innocent person is more important than the principle of sticking to a vow, which in that circumstance, if he, by following it, he didn't do any good to anyone. He just maintained his vow, but a person was killed. So definitely the rules and regulations, according to different circumstances, they have to be applied. And for instance, we're enjoined to rise early every morning. There may be some circumstances in which you don't rise early, and you shouldn't make a habit of it. But there may be circumstances in which you don't rise early every morning. But if you do so out of laziness, then that's different to than if you have a high fever and you're sick. So there are differences. It's not, Krishna is not so cruel that if you're very sick and you don't rise early in the morning, that he'll put you back 100 lifetimes. Krishna's not cruel like that. But then when we become healthy and we don't go, and we think, oh, I didn't go for so many days, now I also shouldn't go. I don't need to go. Then we become offenders by not rising early. Obviously, consideration of time, place and circumstances there. There's that Nagna Matrika Nyai, the logic of the naked mother. In India, until a few years ago, at least in the villages, children, boys and girls up to about the age of 8, they didn't have any, they just run around naked. The older people from the village may remember this. I remember seeing this. Maybe some of you do. Madhur Gauranga, you're from a village. In your village it used to be like that when you were young? It was there. Now not. Still. Still. Not girls. It used to be boys and girls, at least what I used to see. Now they all have to have jeans and all this kind of thing. And every 3 months they need a new pair of jeans. No wonder the farmers are committing suicide. They can't produce enough money to keep up with it all. So if the mother, this, it's Nagna Matrika Nyai, this depends on having a naked mother. If you say this girl, when she was 5 years old, she used to run around naked. Now she's 25, she should also run around naked. That's stupid. So consideration of time, place and circumstance is always appropriate. Yeah. What is the highest form of devotional service? Well, according to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Ramya Kachit Upasana Vrajavadhu Vargena Ya Kalpita, the highest form of devotional service is that conceived of by the gopis of Vrindavan. That's the answer to that question. We should know the answer to this question. At our level, we should be more concerned with what is my level of devotional service and how to become uplifted. We should know what is the highest goal, but we should know what is our situation also. We can't artificially jump up there. What is that? Adhika na labhya. No, I should learn that. As Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, without gaining the proper adhika, if we try to worship at the highest level, we'll simply fall down. I better write that down and learn it properly. Viparja buddhi janme. Yeah, we'll actually, if we... Viparja adhikana labhya something. Viparja buddhi janme shaktir abhave. During to not have enough ability to be at that high platform, then we'll develop an opposite kind of mentality. We'll become offensive. Yeah, so many questions. Yeah. I think we better keep it related to the class because there are many questions coming up. In fact, some of the questions are already not related to the class. We become complacent saying that it's not practical to rise early in the morning. It's not practical to rise early in the morning if you're doing a job in Bangalore. The life in Bangalore is not conducive to devotional service. That doesn't mean you shouldn't rise early, but this life is meant for going to hell. It's not meant for going to Krishna. So Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to establish devotional communities in which devotees can live simply on the land. You won't have all these iPods, iPads, and all these kind of things that you have in Bangalore. But live simply and live a life which is practical for rising early. That's the best solution. Otherwise, you have to try to adjust. But it's not easy. If you're working in Bangalore, then it's difficult to rise early. Maybe difficult. Even if you want to rest early, then all the TVs will be blaring in from other houses all around you. The dogs will be barking in the middle of the night. Of course, the dogs can also be there in the village. So, it's accepted that it's not very easy. It's not so easy to be Krishna conscious. One has to make a lot of effort in this unfavorable situation. Are you married? Okay, I've got a solution for you. If you're not married, you're male, and you want to be Krishna conscious, best thing is cut out of this rat race. Be a full-time brahmachari. You might find it might not be practical for everyone because people are at different levels. But if you have the dedication and the determination and you get good association, then why spend all your life in Bangalore or some other metro in some situation which is not conducive for Krishna consciousness? And those of you who are already older, you also don't have to go on living in this horrible situation. When your children are settled, then just retire and do Krishna service full time. Why go on working? What for? Bifale shevenu kripana durajana chappala shuka laba lagire. Simply serving some rascals. What is it? Uselessly serving some useless people just for some useless so-called sense gratification. Just get out as soon as you can. Serve Krishna. Yeah. One should be satisfied. Yeah, yadricha labha santushta. What is that? Yadricha labha santushta. Whatever you get, be satisfied. But modern life says never be satisfied. Work hard, increase, develop your career, get more money, never be satisfied. So what is better, to live simply and have just what you need and be satisfied, or to have all modern conveniences, promising career, and never be satisfied? Which is better? Even materially, it makes sense just to be satisfied with whatever you have. European visitors to India, some of them noted that the Indian people, they live in what in we would consider to be very primitive circumstances, but they're satisfied. Why are they satisfied? What's wrong with them? It's because of the culture, they're satisfied. They think, well, whatever situation I'm in, that's because of whatever I did in previous lives. Satisfied. But the idea that I'm just a combination of chemicals, and this particular combination of chemicals developed because of some genetic code, and I should get this combination of chemicals that I am should accumulate more and more chemical monstrosities, such as TVs and computers, and I should be a successful bag of chemicals. So, but traditionally people in India were satisfied with whatever they had. Not everyone, but that was in general. And they didn't resent if someone else was richer. All right, very good. They got what they deserve, and I got what I deserve. That's all. Is it Krishna's will that you're in Bangalore? Well, this kind of city is developed out on the basis of what? Krishna bhakti. It's based on kaam and lobe. These are the two underlying principles. Someone wants to make a lot of money, more than they need, and they induce people to come and work in their factories and their offices by saying, come, we'll give you more money, then you can enjoy life better. And naturally, where there is kaam and lobe, there will be krodh, which means anger. It also means frustration. There's a lot of frustration in Bangalore, isn't there? So Bangalore is full of kaam, krodh, and lobe. But Krishna tells us here that these three gates to hell, tasmat etat trayam tyajat, these three should be given up. So according to this shastric analysis, it's not Krishna's desire that Bangalore exists. He gives the facility in this material world by which we can follow his instructions and go back to him, or we can just make a big mess and be proud of it. Be proud of this big city. Yeah. So, shall we finish? Okay, questions are going. There. Someone had the courtesy to ask if they could ask a question outside the class, and I said no. And everyone else is just going on asking questions which have got nothing to do with the class.
Regarding offering flowers to the Lord, apart not alone the full-fledged Krishna Abhishekam, even nowadays it has become part of the any Abhishekam to offer flowers at the end of the articles. But that's also not mentioned in the Shastra.
Offering flowers at the end of the articles? What do you mean? Oh, flower Abhishek has become a standard. I'm not aware of it in any Shastra. I mean, there may be some obscure Shastra, but it seems almost certainly to come from Pushya. Pushya being misunderstood as Pushpa. That's where it's come from. It came from New Vrindavan to New Vrindavan East, which is what ISKCON Chopati was called before they rejoined ISKCON, and now it's spreading. In other Abhishekas, it's also done. Yeah. It's a comment from Madhu Gaurangadas. Is it Seva Aparad? Well, we are supposed to follow Shastra, isn't it? I mean, will Krishna be offended by that? It seems highly unlikely that Krishna will be offended by it, but at the same time, we should follow Shastra. So if we think that, well, I've discovered a better way to serve Krishna than what the acharyas and the shastra gives, then that mentality sounds defective, doesn't it? Concoction, Srila Prabhupada used to use this term. We just invent something. Hari Bhakti Vilas was compiled about 500 years ago, but it's compiled from ancient Shastra. Oh, you're saying it's 500 years ago, it's already out of date. I thought you were going to ask it's something new, and you're saying it's something old. No, but Hari Bhakti Vilas is good. You don't know anything about what you're talking. There are more than 2,000 Dharma Smritis still extant. And there must have been many thousands of others. That's what I said. The acharyas, they select what are suitable for their followers. So for the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Sanatana Goswami accepted this. And then individual acharyas will also say what we should do and what we shouldn't do. Not that we follow, we might not follow everything in Hari Bhakti Vilas, but it should be on the basis of Shastra, what we do. And if there's a highly empowered acharya like Srila Prabhupada, he may make some radical adjustments according to the radically different situation he was in. But it's not that everyone can just come along and change everything as they like. And even, I would say, and this definitely will be controversial, I would say that Srila Prabhupada made certain adjustments for the Western people he was preaching among, and we should bring things back closer to the traditional Shastric model. It's because Srila Prabhupada was preaching among devotees who were hippies, mostly, with no understanding or appreciation or any idea about Vedic culture, that doesn't mean that people in India, they should also be like hippies, because Prabhupada reduced the rules or made allowances for his Western disciples who don't know these things. Just like, for instance, I came to know that in one temple of ISKCON, a few months ago, someone had given a course on Vaishnava etiquette in which they instructed the female devotees who had never considered doing such a thing previously, that they can come to the temple during the days when they're not supposed to come, the 4 or 5 days or whatever every month. So when I came to find out about that, I sent him an email and I said, "Where did you get that idea from?" And he said, "Well, I saw it in a book on Vaishnava etiquette, some manual printed from some temple." So Srila Prabhupada, when he was asked about that by some of his Western female followers, he gave them allowance to do so. But does that mean that what is in Shastra and what's been followed for generations? Everyone knows. It's just like if I have dysentery, I shouldn't come to the temple because I'll be contaminated all the time. So because Srila Prabhupada made some allowance for people who are a long way from Vedic culture, does that mean that the whole culture should be changed and spoiled? And I'm sure you've got plenty of things to say. I just finished this point. That rather we should come back and see what the culture is and follow that. I wanted to say, because now that's coming, especially in the cities, in the metros in India, because the women think, well, anyway, we have to go to school during this time, and then later on we go to the office in this time. So for them, there's no distinction between that time and the rest of the month. And they think we go to the temple also. But it's, what shall I say, Ati Nikrisht. It's very bad. So you may say, well, Prabhupada allowed, but then we have to see in what circumstances, that time, place and circumstance came up. He didn't instruct his Indian disciples to do it. He made an allowance. But does that mean that the whole tradition should be changed? Actually, even the pujari, he's not If a woman in that situation comes in the temple, we should all leave and go and take baths. And we should clean the whole temple with cow dung. That's actually what you should do. Because the whole situation becomes contaminated. The pujari can no longer do his service because he's as if he's... he needs to take a bath and change his clothes. Yeah, go on.
Okay, December 12th, 1976, Prabhupada in Hyderabad. There was a big fiasco festival took place. The COVID fiasco. The next morning, Prabhupada came to the temple room and nobody was there. They all slept in late. And one of my grandfathers told me the story, Ram Shraddha, he's a Palghat Iyer from Hyderabad. So he came in late and Prabhupada asked, "What are you doing? Your parents taught you better than this. Don't learn the bad habits of the Westerners."
Did you all hear that? Did you hear it? Well, I've heard it several times from...
And after he told me the story, and since I joined ISKCON, I've learned so many bad habits.
Yeah. This from Ram Shraddha Prabhu is our god brother. Excellent cook. Was he better than you?
He liked my cooking.
Okay. Excellent cook. I asked him where he learned. He said from his mother. He had to cook for Krishna. So yeah, he's a Palghat Iyer from Hyderabad. Who once in Hyderabad, 1976, if you want the exact date.
It's at the
Hyderabad farm. There'd been a festival, it had gone very late, and all the devotees got up late. So when Srila Prabhupada saw Ram Shraddha Prabhu, he chastised him for getting up late. And he said, what exactly did he say?
Your parents,
they didn't teach you this. You didn't learn the... That your parents trained you better than this. You can expect the Western devotees to not follow all these rules, but you at least should follow. And Ram Shraddha Prabhu said that since joining ISKCON, I've learned so many bad things. Don't pick up the bad habits from the... And Subhag Swami also said that. He said, the philosophy of Krishna consciousness you learn from... You can learn from the Western devotees, but how to live and behave from your mother. So actually, Srila Prabhupada spoke of cultural conquest, many things. You see that still in the villages in South India, you won't see all the women jumping around in kirtan, and maybe in their own little kirtan, but not in public, unless they're very low caste. But that's all. That doesn't apply because we're all pure devotees, or something like this, in Bangalore. One devotee from Bangladesh told me a few years ago he'd been with the Bengali group on the Navadvip Dham Parikrama, and he told me that the local villagers, most of whom are beef-eating Muslims, and the local Hindus who are all fish eaters at least, they said to him that they just couldn't believe it. To see all these Bengali women jumping around in kirtan, flailing their arms. They couldn't believe it. They just considered it so low class. So, if you didn't throw me out before, you may want to throw me out now. But there's... I've been talking about following Shastra, but there is also tradition. And in Bhagavatam, Krishna speaks about Shabda, Anuman, Pratyaksha and Aitihya. Tradition is one of the pramanas. We should learn from tradition also. So in many cases, if you don't know what to do, ask your grandmother. Yeah.
When I was in Delhi recovering in the hospital, staying at the temple, every Sunday they had these major kirtans. I saw this one...
Where? In the hospital? I see. In Delhi, you mean?
Yeah, in Delhi. I was there for 11 months. So, on Sunday, they had very nice kirtans, and this one young lady was visiting guests at the temple. and she was watching the brahmacharis, and so the brahmacharis were jumping up and down, so she also started jumping up and down, and she was a, you know, she was a well-endowed young lady, and she was jumping up and down, and then all of a sudden, in the back of the temple, this older woman came and just threw her to the ground, her mother.
Uh-huh.
Didn't want her dancing like that. So all the brahmacharis...
So I'll say that again for all of you there. That. Shyamasundara Prabhu saw at ISKCON Delhi one kirtan, the brahmacharis were dancing exuberantly, and a young woman, seeing them, also started dancing exuberantly. All of a sudden, someone, an elder woman came and threw that young girl on the floor. It was her mother.
Didn't want her to dance,
wildly in public. So about this, I say, yeah, let women lead kirtans, let them dance as much as they like in their own satsanga. That's the system, isn't it? Mahila satsanga. The women have their own satsangas and they can do everything they like. But if we find Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan party, there's a description, all the names are given, but you don't find any women are there. Sexist, it would be called sexist nowadays. It's just a matter of understanding. Pungsastriya mituni bhavametam tayoraho hridaya granti mahuhu. The attraction between male and female is what binds us in this material world. Therefore, there are rules to follow, cultural rules, which so that hridroga karma, that disease, heart disease of lust, is not increased. Nowadays, women lead kirtans in the temples. Yeah, feminism. It's going on. Okay, I'm going to finish now. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. And if you want, you can go on with what you imagine to be Pusha Abhishek. Up to you.